Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories and their business ventures.
But first, it's time for your new business journey. And we like to ask our panelists about their business journey. So Kevin and I were talking yesterday before the show, and he was telling me about some of the incredible highs and lows that he's had in his career. And one topic that came up was the dot-com crash in 2000. I wanted to ask Kevin, when you look back, what was the one decision or moment that changed the trajectory of your business? And what did it cost you to make that decision?
So we had just raised, I was at a company called Perfect Commerce. I was the CEO. We just raised $50 million of fresh capital, which was a lot of money then. It's zero now, but then it was real money. And within just a couple of months of that, the dot-com crash happens basically primarily in the stock market. But when that happens, private markets also dry up. So I immediately laid off half the company. My investors thought I was crazy. The world thought it was crazy. Everyone else in Silicon Valley thought I was crazy. And I said, I've seen this story before. And it never ends well for those who keep spending money, but it ends very well for those who save money. And so very hard decision, because these are people you just recently hired. You have a big round, you have $50 million of cash in the bank, and you're cutting your burn in half immediately because you know how this plays out for the next 2 to 3 years. And there won't be more money to raise, which turned out to be the case. So look, I think that's always a good lesson. Certainly when you've got startups and you've got small companies and they're typically not making a profit, cash is absolutely king. I like to say there's only one thing that kills a startup every time: they run out of money. Because if you didn't run out of money, you'd keep going. You'd say, well, I'll switch the business plan. I don't have the right product market fit. I need a little more time. I need to change up some people. But the minute you run out of money and there's no more, well, then it's over. So never run out of money, and you've got a long runway to try to get things right. You still may not get it right, but you've got chance after chance after chance, and you need those chances. The average kind of cycle on the business plan, if you will, from when you got funded to when you actually hit product market fit is often the fifth turn on that plan, right? So Slack, you know, famously was a game company. And people were using the messaging service over here, and they realized nobody liked the games, but everybody liked this messaging interaction team thing. And Slack became obviously that, and everybody uses Slack, and it got bought by Salesforce. And, you know, the rest is history. Multi-billion dollar exit, and was never a game company again. Their first four business models were a disaster. But the fifth one, you know, the market spoke, and fortunately they listened.
So running out of money is one lesson, but if an entrepreneur finds themselves in that position where the market around them is crashing, would you give them any other advice?
It always comes down to product market fit, right? And timing. There was a great analysis by a friend of mine who's a VC in Southern California. He looked at over 100 companies he invested in, and he tried to analyze them with who were the smartest people, who were the most educated, who were the best funded, right? Who hired the best teams, who spent the most, who spent the least, all of that. It turns out none of it mattered. The ones that won out of those 100 were the ones that by chance, before they ran out of money, got the product market fit right. They just got the timing right. And when you got the timing right, even the idiot teams won, with all due respect to idiot teams, right? So it was fascinating. He said, here's these kids that should have, they weren't that smart, but I gave them money. But somehow they hit the product market timing right, and the thing took off, and they had a $1 billion exit. And the smartest people out of, I'm making it up, Yale, Harvard, MIT, Stanford, I don't know if those are smartest people or not, but we'll just say that because that's one measure, didn't always win because they just didn't get that product market timing right. So when you've got a real problem that you're solving for real people who have money to pay you for it, you win if you've got that timing right. And if you're too early, you lose. And if you're too late, you lose. So you got to hang in there to try to get that timing right.
Tyler Dunnigan, welcome to the show. What was the one decision or moment that most changed the trajectory of your business? And what did it cost you to make that decision?
I think the most impactful decision that we made was revamping manual tasks to automated software. And this forced us to end up building our own software and similar products. And it was completely out of our comfort zone. we went from service enablement to now we're building software with Teams and similar. But it took us from old and scrappy to updated and innovative, and it completely changed how we operate as a company.
How did you make the decision to go from off the shelf to homegrown products?
Really, the biggest thing was quality of life for my team and the customer journey. The off-the-shelf, out-of-the-box solutions, they work at scale, but they didn't work for our specific needs. And instead of trying to mold how we operate based off of what was available, we flipped it on its head, and we built what we needed based off of how we operated. And that brought us speed. Sure, there's a couple hurdles at first, but it really brought us speed and this ability to build it specifically for us and people in our industry as well.
Excellent. Jen, what was the one decision or moment that most changed the trajectory of your business, and what did it cost you to make that decision?
Well, I'm a water brand, and the biggest decision that I made was I had to be brave and actually take a $250,000 a year warehouse about a year earlier than I would have projected in my financial model, because I could not get underwritten for insurance, because my water was not under one roof. It was across multiple storage facilities. So I had to make a very hard choice of spending $250,000 2 years ahead of schedule, and then finding the capital to backfill that decision and then carry that decision forward. But I would not be distributing in six states. I'm in Florida right now, six states with 15 licenses, if I hadn't taken the risk to say, all right, if I'm in this business, I need to allocate capital appropriately and get a warehouse in fast order.
How did you balance the risk versus the reward calculation when you were making that decision?
So I'm very early stage. These gentlemen are probably a little later stage, right? So I'm this was a seed round of I've raised $2 million, done a lot with a little here. The decision is really a bravery. Are you brave enough to continue to raise money for a physical entity? So I had to convince investors that I needed a physical facility in order to make a company. And so it was individual conversations to prove that I needed it.
That's great. Well, thank you for sharing that story with us, Elizabeth.
Okay. So I think one thing that really changed my path was hiring a coach. We had Sonia Satra on the show a year and a half or so ago, and she gave her presentation on What If It Were Easy, was the name of her book, and how she coaches people. And after the show, I'm like, I want you to coach me. And I had tried other coaches. She is beyond amazing. And one of the first things she said to me was, I see you up on a stage speaking. And I was like, no, that's never going to happen. Well, we went to PodFest and I was up on a stage speaking. So that was a little more than a year working with her. And she really did. She changed the trajectory. And yeah, it's kind of scary to get up on a stage and speak, but I did it. Yay.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That was a great experience. And Elizabeth did an amazing job. I got to witness this birth of Elizabeth's speaker career. So really fantastic. Looking back recently, one of the decisions that changed the trajectory of our law firm was a non-decision on my part to hire a new CPA firm. So we'd been kind of disappointed in their performance over the last 6 months or so. We didn't really feel like we were getting the right attention to our business. And we talked with a couple of other firms, but didn't really find the right fit. And so I just kind of kept putting it off, thinking, well, we've got a CPA. What could possibly go wrong? Well, it turns out I had a call with our firm a couple of weeks ago. And I asked, well, how much do I owe the IRS now for this last payment in January? And they said, well, you guys have had a great year. And he named a figure in the six figures that I wasn't expecting. And I just about fell off my chair.
I don't think I've seen Richard go pale so quickly ever.
And so, I mean, the consequences of that non-decision means that we didn't really have the opportunity to budget and manage for that expense. And now a lot of the expansion plans and investments that we're planning for this year have to be deferred because we have to obviously pay our taxes and pay the government. So, you know, it was a non-decision, and you're always taking certain kinds of risks in business, trying to decide what's important, what's not. But my experience over time has been getting the financials right is really super important. And we're calling new CPA firms now. So trust me, we're going to fix this problem. So in any case, that's it for your new business journey. And thank all of the panelists for their amazing comments.